Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in and joining us this morning. It's amazing to see how God is still moving, even in times of uncertainty. You know, I remember when we could move about freely. Nobody had to wear masks. We could go wherever we wanted to go. Life was perfect. Everything was amazing. You know, we weren't overworked. We weren't tired. We weren't burnt out. Life wasn't hectic. Actually, that's not true. I mean, the thing about memory is sometimes we just aren't good at it. Like, we forget things that we should remember, and we remember things we probably should forget. Nostalgia will leave us remembering the pieces of our lives that seemed good and not remember what we wanted out of. Do you remember? I mean, that's the title of my message today, is Do You Remember? Before we jump into the message, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father God, thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to still hear your word. We thank you for the opportunity to still find ways to connect. God, we thank you for technology and the way that you give us space and opportunity to use it to glorify you. Father, I pray as I preach your word that I say what you want me to say and not say anything you don't want me to say. And ultimately, that you will be glorified through it all. We love you, and we pray this in your Son, Jesus' righteous name. Amen. Today, I got three simple words for you. Remember, celebrate, act. Remember, celebrate, act. Why are there times when we're called to remember things? Well, I think we're called to remember because we tend to drift. In life, we drift away from center. It's because we find things that cause us to slip into our own way of doing things, our own way of seeing the world, our own way of navigating the scenarios that are presented to us, especially now. We've been in our COVID bubbles, and we can choose who to interact with, who to talk to, who to leave on read. As a matter of fact, this time of isolation and change has presented us with so many opportunities to rewrite our narratives in some interesting ways. You know, our memories can be pretty tricky, and so sometimes we can look back on things fondly and want to go back there despite the times we prayed to be brought out of the very situations we're tiptoeing back into. When we remember accurately, we can call to mind things that can easily be forgotten and commemorate through celebration as we celebrate. And as we celebrate, we can share with others what exactly is being remembered. Commemoration and celebration is exactly what's happening in our passage today in John chapter 7, because like us, the Israelites had a tendency to forget. And so we open up the chapter with Jesus talking to his brothers, and they're preparing to go to one of the three required festivals for Jewish men, the Festival of Booths. And Jesus is adamant about not going, and yet after his brothers go, he sneaks away and finds his way to the festival as well. And so all of a sudden, in the passage we're looking at, Jesus turns up as the main event. He turns up in the middle of the crowd, making some pretty audacious claims. And so let's go to John chapter 7, John chapter 7, verse 37. And we're going to spend some time in verses 37 through 39. And this is what it says. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. After reading this passage, it seems that Jesus is now far away from sneaking into town. He's making this bold proclamation saying, "If you're thirsty, I'm the answer." And this isn't new for Jesus. I mean, in John chapter 4, he said he was the answer to the thirsty woman at the well. In John chapter 5, he said he was the healer. In John 6, he said he was the bread of life. So here he is, and he says, those who come to him will have streams of living water flowing from them. Now, as someone who's deeply in love with scriptures, and I started to investigate why the setting of this scene is so important. It's because the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, is when Jews were commanded by God in Exodus 34 and Leviticus 23 to build temporary houses or booths so that they could remember that God took them from a temporary place of wandering and established them securely. He guided them in their wandering and brought them to safety. The festival lasted for a week, and on the last day, which is the day that Jesus made this proclamation, the priests would take vats of water from the pool of Siloam. Siloam meaning sent, and they would march around the altar seven times. As they poured the water, they would recite Isaiah 12:3, which says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And it's with this cultural backdrop, Jesus is saying, "I am the well from which salvation comes. And when you draw from me, you will become a stream of living water." Jesus used this time of remembrance and celebration to point to a future time when we would act. Isn't it beautiful to see how God allows the scriptures to come alive and how they come together? Even the fact that this was happening when the Festival of Tabernacles was going on was a point where Jesus was inaugurating a time when God would no longer seek to dwell in a particular static place, but choose to dwell in the form of Jesus among us. And in us through the Spirit. So in true Jesus fashion, he stands in front of the crowd and gives an open invitation to life. He says, loudly and plainly, if anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Anyone, Jesus? I can imagine his opponents saying, surely this guy's lost it. I can imagine the brothers saying, here we go with this water stuff again. I can imagine his disciples saying, Jesus, this is going to kill the attendants if you keep talking. And I can imagine us saying, anyone? Surely you don't really mean anyone. You mean people that fit into your box. But no, Jesus didn't say anything about specific parameters. He said anyone, black, white, Democrat, Republican, young, old, struggling, broken, rich, put together, anyone. Jesus was standing in a place where he could have specified any good, God-fearing, law-abiding Jew can come. And that probably would have sifted out a few people who were around in the fringes, but he doesn't say that. He says, anyone can come to me and drink. Do you remember when you were thirsty? You probably tried to forget. Or have you been acting thirsty now? You know, you haven't been around the good church people. You haven't been able to have fellowship. And so you decided to go back to those things that you thought would quench your thirst. You found yourself going back to the well of acceptance. You find yourself going back down the rabbit hole of pornography and alcohol and drug addiction. Do you remember when you were thirsty and you found yourself ready to throw yourself in bed with that woman that would whisper sweet nothings into your ears, or that next man that sold you a dream? Because it was really just selling a dream. I believe that God wants us to take a moment to remember that he was with us through all of our wanderings, even as we may be wandering now. And he was protecting us when all we wanted to do was to return to slavery. I remember all of those things in my own life. And you should too, because it's when you remember that you're able to show love and compassion to that person who's still wandering. It's when you remember that you realize that I'm not too far removed from how much grace and mercy I needed from God. You're able to look to your neighbor and love them and confidently say, Jesus is the answer. But not only do we remember where we've come from and how we've been able to lean in to Jesus and draw from his well, but do you remember how you felt the day you stood and said, Jesus is Lord? Do you remember the way you felt when you were washed in the waters of baptism and the weight of all your suffering, sin, and shame was relieved? It was cause for celebration. I don't know about you, but I celebrated. I celebrated the opportunity for new life. I celebrated God's forgiveness. I celebrated God's mercy, and I can't stop celebrating. You see, it's not enough for us to just remember, but our remembering should prompt us to celebrate. My question is, have you stopped celebrating? You don't know? You don't know if you've stopped celebrating? Here's some things you can kind of use as a litmus test for if you've stopped celebrating. Has the Bible gotten dull to you? Have you stopped finding ways to connect with people and with God during COVID? Have you stopped being present and giving in virtual gatherings just because we're not together? Have you stop sharing the love of Christ, and has it taken a back seat to discontent, critique, and gossip? Is your salvation more a matter of fact rather than a divine privilege? And have you forgotten that things could have gone very differently if it wasn't for God protecting you in your wandering? Have you stopped celebrating? You know, God in his infinite wisdom knew that as people, we are prone to forget. That's why the songwriter once wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. See, we have to celebrate because there's way too much at stake. Can you imagine what people felt when they converged on Jerusalem to see the Jews celebrating a God who has been consistent? A God who has loved them over and over and over again, despite their wanderings, despite their challenges, despite forgetting who he was. I imagine those who saw the celebrations were drawn to know that God. As disciples of Jesus, we can't stop celebrating, even in the face of challenge, because someone's trust in the living well is at stake. Now, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the reality that compassion fatigue is real. Compassion fatigue is what we feel when we're inundated with information about all the things that are going wrong in the world. Because we're not meant for that. We were never meant to get news of fires and hurricanes and shootings and injustice and shady politicians and what Devontae down the street is doing at every moment of every day. See, if you pay attention to that, that may be what's hampering your celebration. You can see it all and do very little about all of it. But someone needs to see you celebrating deliverance in a way that causes them to get a sip of what you got. See, if you're not yet a disciple of Jesus, my question to you is, when are we going to get to celebrate with you? When are we going to get to joyously clap and proclaim that God has won someone else? If you're not yet following Jesus, or if you're trying to figure out what that means, it's time for you to act. One of my deepest convictions is that the Bible doesn't work unless you do. And so if you're sitting around, you're joining in, you're in classes, you're watching online, you're connecting with new people, and secretly in your heart, you're waiting to see the flaws in these church people or in this church or in God, you may be allowing yourself to not tap into what God is really trying to give to you. You haven't allowed your heart to be transformed by the scriptures in a way that prompts you to relinquish it all to Jesus. And yet Jesus says, you're thirsty, come to me. Now, if you've been following Jesus for some time now and you say, I remember what God has brought me from, I still celebrate what he's done for me, but I'm too far along to still get excited about acting on anything. I've put in my time. To you, I say, you still have to move. John 7:38, Jesus doesn't leave it at come get your fill. He says, rivers of living water will flow from their inmost being. Those who come to me must be sent. Remember the water from the pool of Siloam that was being poured out by the priests? Jesus makes it very clear. When you come to me, I'm pouring into you for the sake of others. Your transformation should lead to the transformation and growth of other people. Because there's living water. Imagine a river, a stream in constant flow and movement. It's dynamic. The opposite of that is static. And when there's static water, there's usually mosquitoes, which yields disease. And so you have an opportunity to choose which of the two types of water you're going to be. You know, Jesus is saying, I'm pouring into you because you should be the one that's investing in the growth of others. I'm pouring into you so that by my spirit, you change the landscape of everything you touch, because that's what streams do. What do I mean? I mean, if you've come to Jesus and you're drinking from his never-ending supply, then you should bring life even now in your jobs, in your small groups, in your schools, in your homes, in your businesses. Guys, I'm under no delusion that this is hard. Like, I understand completely. There are so many new challenges. There are losses that we've had to face. There are things that we've had to learn how to do differently. But the question becomes, have we continued to remember? Have we continued to celebrate? And have we chosen to act? Acting on what God has done for us is a choice. You know, it means that until the last day, we no longer have to stop at Isaiah 12:3, but we can continue reading Isaiah 12, where it says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things, and let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. The beautiful thing about the Festival of Tabernacles is that this was one of the festivals that was not exclusive to the Jewish people. The Festival of Tabernacles was one that was open and available to the Gentiles around them. And so not only did people get to see Jesus standing up in the middle and saying, whoever is thirsty, but I think it was very strategic in God's wisdom that this moment, this place, that the Gentiles would see that there was something more that God was trying to do. You know, I don't know where you come from. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know how you view God, but I want you to know that Jesus lived on this earth. He was glorified on the cross and rose on the third day so that you no longer have to thirst. If you're watching and trying to figure out, what am I doing? How do I do this? How do I go deeper with God? I want to encourage you. You don't have to figure that out alone. Let us know. Send it. Put it in your comments. Connect with somebody that may have tagged you in the post. Connect with us online so that we can help you see the pool and the well of living water. As we begin to think about communion, before we pray for communion, I want us to really consider that I have an opportunity. If you've been following Jesus, communion is a reminder that Jesus was broken, bloodied, and hung on a cross for us to have a chance. Communion is the time where we remember, where we celebrate, and we act. If you've been a disciple for a long time and you've forgotten, take this time to remember. If you stop being moved by who God is, take this time to celebrate. But most importantly, make it your ambition to bring life to dead situations around you and act in a manner worthy of the calling you received. Let us pray. Heavenly God, Father God, we thank you for being the God that shows up the God that protects us even in our wandering, the God that keeps us even when we drift. Father, I pray that something that was shared today will resonate in the hearts of everyone who hears and who watches. God, as we prepare to take communion, help us to be reminded that it was not cheap. Our opportunity to know you and to bridge the gap that stands between us cost Jesus his life. And so, God, as we eat the bread that represents his body and drink the juice that represents his blood, help us to remember, to celebrate, and to act. Pray all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.